This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is Frankie Valli, the lead singer of the Four Seasons. He's the falsetto in this post-doo-wop harmony group. The group is the subject of the hit Broadway musical Jersey Boys. A new 3-CD set collects 76 of the Four Seasons' records, including their top 10 hits like Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, Dawn, Ragdoll, and Let's Hang On. The fourth disc in the collection is a DVD that includes TV performances from the 60s. The box set is called Jersey Beat. As you may remember, Frankie Valli also had a small part in The Sopranos. In the 50s and early 60s, before they became the Four Seasons, the group sang under the names The Four Lovers, The Romans, and The Village Voices. When they hooked up with music producer Bob Crewe, they had their first hit, Sherry, which made it to number one in 1962. Sherry was written by Frank Gaudio, who wrote or co-wrote most of the group's hits and also sang in the Four Seasons. Frankie Valli, welcome to Fresh Air, and congratulations on the new box set. So what's the story behind Sherry? Bob Gaudio, who was in the Four Seasons as a singer, but also wrote most of the songs that you've recorded over the years, wrote Sherry. Was there a story behind the song?
Well, the story is that once we went to Bob Crewe and told him that either he record us or we were going to move on, he said, okay, put four songs together and we'll go in and we'll record. We were rehearsing every day the material that we were going to record. And Gaudio came in to a rehearsal one afternoon and brought Sherry in. And he said, hey, I just wrote this song. He says, I wrote it 15 minutes before I left the house. And we rehearsed it. We called Crewe up. We sang it to him over the phone. He loved it. We went and recorded it. And we ended up at VJ Records, which was a black label out of Chicago. And I think we were probably the first white group that they had on that label. Everybody thought we were a black group. But it took guys like out of Philadelphia, like Jerry Blavitt and Jocko, who really laid on the record for 3 or 4 weeks when we couldn't get it played anywhere.
These are DJs you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden they were getting calls in, and all of a sudden it was a hit in Detroit, and it was a hit in Philly, and it was a hit in Boston, and it was spreading. And then we did the Dick Clark show, and in one day I think we sold maybe 120,000 records, and that was very, very strong.
It went to number one, didn't it?
Yeah, it did go to number one.
So your falsetto is so prominent on this. I mean, you have such a big range on this recording. Had you been singing largely in falsetto before Sherry was recorded?
Yeah, I guess I was, you know. I very early on in my career, since I had no formal musical education, I learned to sing by listening to a variation of different artists, and I had an unusually high voice to start off with, so a wide range is what I really should say, because I was always truly a baritone. A lot of people thought I was a tenor or soprano, but soprano, now I know that guy. Where's that name come from?
We'll get to that later.
But it wasn't anything new. R&B groups were using it for years, using it in background. What we did different was we used it doing lead. And that was quite unique, and we created a style that became the sound of what the Four Seasons were all about. And I guess that's really the way it all went down.
Now, how'd you work out the harmonies on the songs? Like, let's start with Sherry, for instance. How'd you work out the harmonies on that? You said the song was written in 15 minutes. What was it like to actually work out how you were going to do the song?
Well, we did a lot of what I call church harmony. And church harmony is probably the simplest form of harmony, but the way you lay the harmony out, it creates a lot of overtones. A lot of people were not able to figure out who was singing what on our records because of the overtones. So we kept the harmony open to give a bigger sound. And closer harmonies, like in modern harmony, with groups like the Four Freshmen or the Hilos or the Modern Airs, or the Manhattan Transfer, who are one of my all-time favorite groups. They sing closer harmonies, and modern singing does use closer harmonies.
How did you learn to sing harmony? You mentioned church harmonies. Did you sing harmony in church?
I just it was an ear thing. I mean, I just heard it. Most of the guys in the band, except for Bob Gaudio was the only guy that had any sort of formal musical education. I mean, he studied classical piano.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that did a lot of our early vocal arrangements, Nick Massey, he structured harmony right in his head and gave each guy parts, and that's how we did it.
But he'd write it out or he'd sing it for you?
He'd sing it out for us and...
So we
rehearsed them and practiced them, and that's what we came up with.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Frankie Valli, and there's a new box set out called Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Jersey Beat, and there's three CDs and one DVD of performances. So once Sherry came out, and it was a big hit, followed by other big hits, and you suddenly started getting this money and fame. What did you spend your money on at first?
Well, very early on, there really wasn't that much money. First of all, it was we were four guys. We were a partnership, and we split the money. And by the time you got through with agents and everything else, there wasn't that much money. We lived on a budget. We took a salary from the corporation. It was hard to believe that the success was really happening. You work and work and work for something. And you believe in everything you're doing, but your struggle is long and hard. And when it happens, I mean, I was scared to death. I said, what now?
Why was that, frightening?
It was just frightening because I lived most of my life as a kid in the projects with not a whole lot. A kid with a lot of dreams and a lot of ambitions, but not really knowing how to get to where I wanted to go. See, that was the hard part. When your roots are what mine were, and you hung on street corners or in pool rooms, and you want to be a singer. How do you get to that place?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I know, like, some singers of your generation, like Dion, for instance. Once he started to make it, he was groomed. There was someone who was hired to teach him how to, like, use the right fork at a fancy restaurant and how to dress a certain way. So, young stars were groomed to eventually play Vegas and things like that. Did you have anybody in your life who was hired to, like, teach you that kind of stuff?
No, not really. I certainly had a taste for nice things in life. And And when they came, I was very careful to learn as much as I could possibly learn about great restaurants and eating properly and speaking properly and all of the other things that go with it.
Do you speak differently now than you did before you were famous?
Well, I think that, you know, from coming from where I grew up in the part of the country that I grew up in, you kind of have a New York sound or a Jersey sound. But singing is really wonderful because it really straightens all that out. Once you really are into singing, it will teach you, without even trying, it will teach you all the correct ways to say words.
Oh, because you have to pronounce
without having an accent, you know, not no New York accent.
Right, and you have to hear like the T at the end of a word.
Right, and you know, on the East Coast, in most cases, it's chocolate and coffee and water and banana. And it's you know, the way I just said all those words to you, if you tried to sing them that way, they would sound awful. It would be awful, not awful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's hear another Four Seasons hit. Now, we heard Sherry, you know, your first big hit. And that's not a very highly produced record, whereas Dawn is. Do you want to talk about how the production and the sound changed from Sherry to Dawn?
Well, there was Sherry and Big Girls Don't Cry and Walk Like a Man. And there were three number ones in a row. And we probably could have gone on and stayed right in the same place. But we felt that we should make a surprising change. So we used more orchestra. And we did a different kind of song with a little bit more story. And it went, I think, to number three. And when it didn't go to number one, I thought it was over. I said, oh, my God, our career is done. But it was a good move. It was we always were not afraid to be innovative. And even today, I think that's a big mistake. I listen to some artists, even those whom I love a lot, and everything sounds the same. And music is much broader than that.
Well,
you should not be afraid to try different things and do different things. If you're a singer, you're a singer. That's what you are.
Why don't we hear Dawn? And this is featured on the new box set, Jersey Beat, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And my guest is Frankie Valli, and we'll talk more after we listen to Dawn.
Pretty as a midsummer's morn, they called her
away.
Four Seasons, recorded in 1964. My guest is Frankie Valli, and that song was one of the many included on a 3-CD box set that also includes a DVD called Jersey Beat, The Music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I'm wondering if Bruce Springsteen ever said to you that he was influenced by that particular track.
No, he didn't, but, you know, I find with time, I saw him at a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inauguration, and he expressed that he was a fan, and I was also a fan of his, you know, and it was nice to see so many people out of New Jersey having success, like Springsteen and Connie Francis and Frank Sinatra and the Young Rascals, and so it's kind of neat.
Now, Dawn entered the charts just at about the same time the Beatles came to the United States for the first time.
The who?
How did the Beatles and the British invasion affect your popularity? You know, a lot of bands felt, a lot of singers felt that they were, you know, like wiped out and knocked off the charts by the British invasion.
Well, that's like saying that you should never have any competition. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You know, they did what they did. One of the big problems I found with many of America's artists is that they tried to cop the British sound and leave the successes that they were already having. Well, some people didn't do that, and those people all went on to continue to be successful. We could start right out with the Beach Boys. They did not change their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did not try to sound English or copy what the Beatles were doing. And the Four Tops didn't. And the Temptations didn't. And Marvin Gaye didn't. And Bobby Darin didn't.
Now, let me ask you another question about somebody else who you know, was in the original group. And I'm thinking of Tommy DeVito. You know, from what I read, he was an ex-con when the group got together. And I think he'd done time for petty larceny, whatever. I don't know exactly what the...
Well, he did time for a lot of things. But...
Did he? What kind of things?
Well, I, you know, I don't want to get, you know... Tommy DeVito, until the day he dies, God love his soul, will always be Tommy DeVito, you know? The things that he was a little bit more careful, and all the things that had happened in anybody's life before we had had any success, we kind of kept quiet because we were afraid if anybody found out, they'd stop playing our records and record companies would not want us on their labels. So, and not until Jersey Boys did we finally decide that we were going to tell the story the way it was, as close to the truth as you could possibly ever get.
Did you worry that at some point he would get into trouble and then the story would get out and it would be all over?
Well, we always worried about that. You know, that's why when everybody was out there making a rumpus and getting drunk and or using drugs and breaking up hotel rooms, we were very careful not to do any of those things. You know, we were trying to protect a career. This was a wonderful opportunity. These are four guys who came from rather dim backgrounds, except that, you know, Bob Gaudio was the only guy that was a little different. He came from the Bronx and was younger and had no problems with the law and was into music and had the backing of his parents financially and otherwise, and we didn't. You know, Tommy DeVito learned how to play guitar on the street and in jail. And Nick Massey learned how to play guitar and bass the same way.
In jail?
Absolutely.
Did your parents ever tell you to stay away from them, that they'd get you into trouble?
My parents told me to stay away from everybody. My mother had the greatest insight of anybody. You know, she just was the greatest. She could feel trouble. And had I listened to her more when I was a kid, I probably would have avoided a lot of things.
Including a music career,
you know, I came up in a I came up and grew up in a period of time in a place that I was a street kid. I lived in the projects. There was everything going on. Everything that's happening today was going on. There was drugs in the street, and there were gangs, and there were all of these things happening. And it was a kind of situation where it was all about guys had honor with each other. You know what I mean? If you gave your word, that was it.
You went solo at some point. What was it like for you to sing without, like, the harmonies behind you?
You know, I never really went solo. And I get this all the time. You know, I stayed a part of the Four Seasons.
So you stayed with the group. You just had some solo records in addition.
Yes, I decided that I wanted to do some things that were a little different, more orchestrated, and a little bit more in keeping of what I originally wanted to do. You know, songs like Can't Take My Eyes Off You or My Eyes Adored You or Swearing to God were not exactly Four Seasons songs. You know, it was an extension of something that was always in the back of my mind. It was where I really wanted to be.
Well, why don't we hear Can't Take My Eyes Off of You? Did you choose the song?
It was written specifically for me.
By Bob Gaudio?
By Bob Gaudio and Bob Crew.
Well, anyway. let's hear it. This is Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, and this is Frankie Valli, and it's one of the tracks included on the new box set.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Frankie Valli, one of the tracks included on the new box set, Jersey Beat, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Now, I should ask you about The Sopranos.
And I did 7 episodes and probably would have done more, but, you know, my working schedule was really heavy.
Wasn't your character whacked?
Yeah. Well, all of
who
the
wasn't?
Guests
yeah.
were eventually whacked. I mean, you know, unless you were an original part of the Soprano family, and occasionally even those guys got whacked. But all the characters, you know, that's what kept that show so interesting. You know, it was really amazing. I mean, with all the television shows that we can think about and all the crime shows and everything else, I have never seen such a list of actors that wanted to do that show. So I really felt privileged to be working with really great actors and writers. And David Chase is, he has to be a genius. I mean, you know, he just didn't come along. And you hear all the controversy about the way it ended. I guess everybody was waiting to see Tony Soprano get whacked out, but it didn't happen. And I'm glad it didn't happen, to tell you the truth. He ended it the way he thought it should end.
So how has it changed the profile of the Four Seasons to be the subject of the Broadway show Jersey Boys, which was and is such a big success?
Well, one of the most unusual things that I have learned, you know, since we have recorded so many different ways, I'm not quite sure that the public was aware of the fact that we were all of those records. And that's one of the things that has been cleared up.
What do you mean? Did you think they thought other bands did?
Well,
because we
were constantly changing. We never stayed in a bag. Mm-hmm. You know, Sherry Big Girls, Walk Like a Band were one place. Dawn was another place. Ragdoll was another place. Ronnie was another place. Big Man in Town was Let's Hang On, Working My Way Back to You, Opus 17 was another place. My Eyes Adored You, Swearing to God was another place. December 63, and Who Loves You was, you know, we were constantly looking for new places to go.
Frankie Valli, the new Four Seasons box set is called Jersey Beat.